Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Hello, Sanelik. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, my elder. How are you?
Very well, thank you, man. How are you doing?
No, it's been a nice, warmish day. So we're doing okay, thank you.
Where has been the nice, warmish day? Where is that?
Well, I actually meant, you know, in your home, and it's cold outside.
Because I've been outside.
Snuggling nicely and warm at home, so yeah.
Because I've been outside and it's been raining for the better part of the day.
No, of course. So we are grateful that you've got shelter and we can keep warm.
Oh, yes. No, fantastic, man. Now, our VOP lesson this afternoon, it says, facing death unafraid. I mean, it can be comforting to know that Jesus himself faced grief and loss and completely understands the emptiness that sweeps over us when we face the reality of death. In fact, he himself, faced death. He wept also when his friend Lazarus died. And so we're going to be having a look at the Bible and what it tells us about death. So, Sanele, would you please give us a summary of today's lesson, beginning by the story of creation?
Yeah, thanks a lot, my elder. And I think it's always good to go back to see how God meant for things to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because when he created, we are told, so essentially I think the two verses that form the foundation of this afternoon's conversation is Genesis 1:26 and Genesis 2 verse 7. I think the latter is the one that kind of will give us direction for today. Because in Genesis 1:26, we hear God, and I like it in the Amplified version, because it says, then God said to us, and he says, Father, Son, it says, then God said, let us, and then it has in brackets, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make men in our own image, according to our likeness, not physical, but spiritual personality and moral likeness. And let them have complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, and the entire earth, and over everything that creeps and crawls. Then Genesis 2 verse 7 says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. So that is the foundation of how man was created. And in Bible study, we in the Bible study, and usually in Bible studies when we talk about this, and it's the way I've also understand and appreciated it, to say there is a formula to understand what is man and what is a soul, because again, it also touches on what others may believe, even Christians, that, you know, there is a person, and then inside the person, there's a soul. So this formula that we learn about in the Bible study is that when you read the Bible, it mentions two components that make up a soul, which is one, the dust of the ground. Number two, the breath of God, which equals a living soul. So meaning that when a person, when the dust of the ground has separated from the breath of God, therefore, there's no longer a soul. So a soul is not a third component. It is the combination of what makes. So, and maybe another way to think about it is Dala, we used to have, why am I forgetting the terminology now, but in Zokumbula, when you mix water and sugar, and then you drink that sugar water solution. So when it's combined, it's a sugar water solution. You no longer call it water. You no longer call it sugar, but it's a sugar water solution. So similar to that. So that's how we were created. And therefore, the death, if we recall yesterday, we spoke about the three generic types of deaths. When we spoke about one, a person that can be alive, but if they don't have Christ, the Bible calls that person, they don't have life. And then we also spoke about the other death, which is the permanent death. That will happen after the thousand millennium years after heaven. And then the death that we are commonly know is the physical death, and which is what we are talking about, which is now the separation of the breath of God and the the body, which is the soil.
Yeah.
So that's the death and the foundation that we are talking about today. And then there's that comfort, you know, that we get to say, when each of these deaths, they are, we can recover from them, or they can be preventable.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
We I think we'll get into that in a short while.
Mm. Now, please outline for us the difference between Adam receiving a soul and Adam becoming a living soul.
Yeah. So when we read the Bible, there is no indication, I guess, you know, from Sarah. Not sure how many times I've read Genesis 1. maybe someone may have another version, but there isn't an indication we get from the Bible that Adam actually received a soul. We get to know that he became a soul.
I see.
So if I may speak to Elder Derek, I can refer to him as a soul. You know, and sometimes we even say, oh, there's such a beautiful soul.
Yeah,
we are talking about a person. We're not talking about an entity. So there isn't any, in my knowledge, any reference to a human being, being Adam or whoever else, receiving it. Even when Jesus was born, in fact, it could have come up there in the book of Matthew that when he was born, he received a soul. We never read of that. We read the fact that when Adam was created, he became a living soul.
Fantastic, fantastic. Now, what exactly then makes up a living soul? Now, you're saying that Adam became a living soul. Is it something that exists inside of a human being, this living soul?
Yeah. So I guess it goes back to that formula we spoke about, which is the soil, our bodies, in the formula, which is the first part. And then the second part becomes the breath of God, which is then the combination of the two. The word that I was looking for earlier is mpupudlo, which is a sugar water.
You say you looked mpupudlo. I think you didn't hear me.
Yes, I didn't hear you. Sorry, yes. So mpupudlo, we can think of mpupudlo as the soul. So meaning that amanzi, water, and the sugar have now combined. So there isn't any other entity that is, or other element that was put in Adam, or that is put in us, that is called a soul. And that's what the Bible has taught us. So we are umpupudlo, we are a soul, which is what a combination of the breath of God and the soul, which is and the soil, which is the physical body that makes up this entity called a soul.
So when the soul ceases to exist, what then happens?
Yes. So I was thinking, you know, if we had more time, when I'm Dala, you know, there are also some verses that we read about. You know, even the story of Lazarus being in heaven, and the other man who didn't receive God being in hell, and looking at Lazarus sitting in the bosom of God. So sometimes, you know, there's another verse that speaks about an altar and the souls of the righteous crying. So they bring about some sort of confusion. But what we are usually told when we do Bible studies, that let's rely on the consistent, what is the consistent message? So when a person sleeps, and I'm using that word deliberately, and I'm hoping that we'll have a bit of time to touch on that.
Okay.
Is that the Bible tells us that the soul returns. I'm sorry, man. The soul separates.
Yeah, yeah.
So meaning that the body, the soil, goes back to the soil down on the ground.
Right,
which is our body. And then the Spirit of God, the Bible says, returns to God. And perhaps that's where the other confusion comes in, because now people believe that when the Bible speaks about the Spirit of God returning to God, they then say that that is then the Spirit that then stays in heaven somewhere. And that gets combined with what we spoke about a bit yesterday, with maybe our beliefs as well, whether you are here in Africa or in Europe, the belief that our loved ones, when they sleep, they then their soul gets taken to heaven and it becomes a living entity, which is something that we is not biblically correct.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. So I think it's a simple, maybe not deep and powerful thought, but you know, as we said yesterday, to say we read a lot about Jesus Christ coming back, and we are said saying that we are waiting for his second coming. And when we read about his second coming, the Bible talks a lot about the fact that the dead in Christ shall rise, and those of us who are living will see his coming, and we will not precede those who are dead. It says that those who are dead will rise first, and then we'll meet together in the sky. And that simple question is, if those who are asleep are already in heaven, then who are these dead ones that will rise at the second coming of Christ? So I think that's an important piece that I believe may be simple enough to make us understand that the body remains here and the breath of God goes back to God. Mm-hmm. It is not a separate entity that exists in some place in heaven.
Mm-hmm. I like that explanation, because many of the times we especially on exactly what you were saying, that you know, many a times we're saying that when the breath goes back to God, then what happens to it, and want to know. But the truth of the matter is, we should then ask ourselves, what was happening to it before it was given?
100%.
You understand?
Yes.
Because
yes.
Before it was given, we never question that. We never ask, what happened? What was happening to the breath of this person before God actually gave it out? It goes to exactly how it was.
100%. You know? Because now it will also imply that then, if it was there, it means that maybe then these souls, we have forever existed, which now also feeds into the other beliefs that, you know, in the reincarnation and all that. So it just opens another can of worms.
Yes.
Yeah. But I want to touch on this sleep component, my elder, because, you know, it's this, you know, facing, you know, death unafraid. And I think, you know, I was thinking of different ways on how perhaps we can address this point. And it comes back to your introduction, and it shows that the Holy Spirit was working with you as it was working with me. Because I think the essence of it, there are two stories in the Bible. The story of Lazarus in John 11, who was Jesus's friend.
Mm.
And then there's a story of Jairus' daughter, which is found in the Synoptic Gospels, first being in Mark chapter 5, where Jairus' daughter had slept the sleep of death.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is called by Jairus to come and raise up his daughter. And when you look at, so I think one of the things that can help us to face death unafraid is our language. You know, when you say someone has gone away, you know, there's a feeling of distance. There's a feeling of separation versus saying that someone is asleep. So for me, I think one of the things that can help us as Christians is appreciating the fact that when someone has lost, when the soul has ceases to exist, we then maybe use the language of sleep instead of death, because it implies that the person will resurrect.
Mm-hmm.
But it also puts some sort of responsibility to us as well, to make sure that whilst our loved ones and those we come across, whilst they are still alive, let us play our part in contributing to them having a life with Christ, so that when they sleep, we can then have some sort of assurance that they will resurrect. And the second piece is around the fact that the God that we serve in Jesus Christ, he himself experienced losing a loved one in the story of Lazarus.
Mm-hmm.
He experienced death through the people that he came to save, like Jairus, losing their loved ones. And he showed his compassion through raising Lazarus' daughter when he said, "She is not dead, but she's asleep." And people laughed. And I think that's the type of mentality that will help us as well to ensure that when we go through these difficulties, when you lose loved ones, let us make sure that we think of it as a fact that they are not permanently dead, but it's a pause, as we mentioned last time. And having a God that has experienced what we experienced, so Jesus himself experiencing death the way we've explained it, and God the Father experiencing death in losing Jesus Christ during the death, we then have a God that can relate to us. That's another thing. You know, it's someone having the experience. You know, when you either you are flying or using Uber or a taxi, you don't get in the plane and you say, "Can I see the pilot's qualifications?" You know, and you in that when you get into the taxi rank, and sometimes when you look at these taxis, they are going straight but they are facing sideways. But you get in with the trust that the fact that this taxi was in the taxi rank, I can trust it. The fact that this plane was at the airport, I can trust. And the good thing about it, what is common within these things is that the pilot doesn't sit outside and controls the plane, he's also inside. Similar to Jesus Christ and similar to God the Father, they've been inside this journey and therefore can take comfort in the fact that when we die, if we have lived a life of serving Christ, we will surely resurrect.
Beautiful stuff there. Well, my brother, I must say thank you so much for the time. And I do hope that you are going to be having a restful afternoon as well as you have had a very restful day. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute, absolute pleasure as always to have you here on the Maranatha Drive.
Thank you, my elder. Blessings.
Blessings to you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.